do what God instructs us to do, to labor, he must have a reason for it. And he does. He says, your heart, now think in the physical realm. I've got a lot of heart issues lately. Low blood pressure, high blood pressure, all kinds of things. But, and it all comes down to one thing. Heart issues. Around 35 years ago, I did a study, and on it was called the presented their offerings and blood flowing through the altar, and the priest went over and started covering him with blood. And it was like, so that was the beginning, a temporary thing, because in the end it was Jesus' blood. Jesus shed his blood for us so that we could forgive. And I'm looking in what God says about forgiveness. In Matthew 19, that says a lot about forgiveness. And we've probably all heard it before, but we need to ask ourselves, do I really need to look at this for myself? I know the other person needs it. Then Peter came out and said to him, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said, I do not say to you up to seven times, but to 70 times seven. Well, I was never really good in math, but I know what seven times seven is. 490 times. Wow. 490 times? That's what Jesus is saying. What do you say? He said, for this reason, the kingdom of heaven has been compared to a certain king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. And when he began to settle them, he was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But since he did not have the money to pay, the Lord commanded him to be sold, along with his wife, children, and all he had had, and repayment to be made. The slave, therefore, falling down, prostrated before him, saying, have patience with me, and I will repay you everything. And the slave of the Lord felt compassion and released him, and forgave him the debt. But the slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. That's one day's wages. And he seized him and began to choke him, saying, pay back what you owe. So his fellow slave fell down and began to entreat him, saying, have patience with me, and I will repay you. He was unwilling, however, but went and threw him in prison that he should pay back what he owed. So when the fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were deeply grieved and came and reported their lord to all that had happened. Then summoning him, he said, Lord, said to him, you wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you entreated me. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave, even I has a mercy on you? And the Lord, moved with anger, and handed him over his torturers until he should repay all that he had owed him. So shall my heavenly Father also do to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart. As I was looking at this word, torment, I looked to Isaiah 51:23, and I want to show you what exactly happens when we choose not to forgive. I love how the Bible describes that. And it says in verse 23, and I will put into the hand of your tormentors, this is God now, who have said to us, lie down so that we will walk over you. You have even made your back like the ground, like the street for those who walk over. And I say, whoa. Literally, when we're walking in unforgiveness, we're just laying down and letting the devil walk right over us. Is that what you want? The truth. This is the truth. The truth is, the blood of Jesus covers it all. I've experienced a lot of unforgiveness with my children. And even when I first, our marriage began with Sue Ann about 40 years ago, she struggled with a lot of unforgiveness. And thank God that God has given me a heart to see the pain in this woman and into my children. I wanted so much, men, I wanted to fix her. I couldn't. I was helpless because it was a hard issue. And that was between God and her. And one of the things that grieves me so much is it grieves the Father. Christians struggle with this so much. And we're supposed to be light to the darkness. And how can we do this if we're struggling ourselves with unforgiveness? You know, God commands us to forgive. You know, being hurt by others is a repeatedly experience in all of life. We experience it all the time. We seek to love others and allow them to be close to us. Either they'll accidentally or on purpose hurt us or disappoint us. There may be a period of time when we seem the almost important person letting them down. But the most important person is just greater the hurt and disappointment. For clearly, Scripture clearly tells us, and he tells us in Scripture, forgiveness. Forgive each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so you should also do also. Colossians 3:13. As I began to think about this, I was looking to the cross there. And then what I realized was it's a vertical relationship with God first. We've sinned against the holy God. And if we forget that, people, we're not following what God tells us. You've sinned against God. And so many people go into the horizontal first. And David said, Lord, I've sinned against you, Almighty God. Why do we forget that? Why do we always look at the horizontal? I know what the word says. Are we going to obey the word? The Bible says you're in obedience to, you're a slave to who you are obedience to. Are you a slave to sin? Or are you going to be a slave to righteousness and do it God's way? I don't know about you, but unforgiveness is total bondage. And I don't like bondage myself. Not when I've been given the truth. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I am appalled at so many people and so many churches that I've visited over the years have struggles in this area. And it's like, wow. I mean, like, I understand some of the issues, but I don't think my own family, my mother, and my brother for 50 years were enslaved to unforgiveness. 50 years. And I experienced it with my mother. And I'd sit across the table with my mother and I just hear my mother's torment just coming at me. And I was just listening to her like a son's do, and just hearing the cry. You know, God cries too. God sees our hearts. He knows what's in it. But you know what? We've opened that door. We've opened that door to the evil one because we haven't listened to the Lord. We haven't chosen. The enemy have deceived us. I can say one thing. I'm working with several people now. And forgiveness leads to bitterness. And bitterness will affect you in ways you can't even imagine. You will have an ineffective prayer life. You'll feel distance from God. In fact, you'll withdraw from God because of the guilt you feel. Where's the guilt from? The Bible says in Revelation 12:7, the accuser of the brethren accuses them before our God day and night. Unforgiveness and bitterness, we have the inability to love others. And we're not able to receive or even give love because we feel rejected and lonely and unhappy. And then what we do, we start doubting God's word. Well, I know what James says. I'm sure we're all familiar with James 1. I know what it said. Let the word of God define, lead you, guide you. But let him who asks without doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not man expect he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. And you're also unstable. And not only does bitterness start affecting you physically, from the anger, the headaches, the tiredness, stomach problems, sleep disorders, arthritis. In fact, the Bible says about there's bitterness in the bones. Doesn't that sound like arthritis to you? That's what the Word of God says. There's four reasons we need to forgive. Number one, God commands it. Yep. Ephesians 4:32 clearly tells us what to do. 4:32. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. He's forgiven you. Did we forget that? Do we really realize what he's done for us? But bitterness also robs us, people, of the power of the Holy Spirit that's in us. The Bible says that the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead indwells out of us. And here what we do by the choices we make, we're robbed of the Holy Spirit's power. Why? Because we're focused on us. We're not focused on God. In fact, we think we have a right to hang on to it. What? Well, you're deceived. That isn't what the truth says. Let the truth guide you. I don't read a lot of books. I'm not a book reader, but I love this book. I've studied it for 40 years. 40 years. And it's alive. This word who comes alive in you. One of the things that, and the other thing about bitterness, it will damage other relationships. It literally distorts relationships. But the most important is, it distorts your relationship with God. So what is biblical forgiveness? Forgiveness is not demanding that a person pay or make up for the wrongdoing that they've done to you. Remember, forgiveness cost God the death of his son. Think about that for a moment. Somebody had to pay for it. And the Bible said God so loved the world that he just gave his only begotten son. When we really understand it and walk in this truth, then forgiveness is not an issue. The problem comes down to not seeing God's love in us. It's hard to see love when you're unforgiving. God's forgiveness is a gift that we don't have to earn. Christ died on the cross sufficiently to pay all the sins of the world. The whole world, he paid them. You know, the Bible is really clear. It says in Ephesians 4:31 and 32, let all bitterness and wrath and clamor and slander be put away with all malice. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. See, we can forgive because have been forgiven. To forgive others, we need to understand and receive God's total and complete forgiveness of us. As Christians, we have a unique capacity to forgive others because our sins have been fully forgiven. So why don't we forgive? Number one, maybe the offense was too great. We believe the effects of the pain are just so deep. And we don't believe God can heal a wound. So what do we have here? We have a trust issue. Bible says we walk by faith, but faith has to have an object. The Bible says that Jesus is the author and the perfecter of our faith. It is only through the dependence on the Holy Spirit, can we choose to love and forgive a God? Forgive others as God loves us and has forgiven us. When we realize how much God has forgiven us, forgiveness is a problem. How much he loves us? I don't know about you, but I know what the Bible says. The thief came to kill, steal, and destroy, but I came to give you life and have it more abundantly. Second reason we don't forgive, we don't agree that they offended me or they aren't truly sorry. Let me ask you this question. If someone who is not a Christian and offends you, what are you going to do? Wait for them to ask them you're sorry? Or what if you're a Christian and the Bible says, the mindset on the flesh is death. So you're a Christian, but you're walking after your flesh, and so the same thing is going to happen to you. The Bible says that when you're after your flesh, the mind is hostile towards God. The truth is, why wait? Why don't we choose truth and not be enslaved to sin? We need to see sin as God sees sin. Thank God, the Word of God says, he, in 2 Corinthians 5:21, says, he who knew no sin became sin on our behalf, that we might come to righteousness of God through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Come on, people. Why in the world would we want to be in bondage when we don't stand on the truth? Did not Jesus teach us how to deal with it? He sure did. When Jesus was tempted by the devil, what did he say? He said, it is written, it is written, it is written. And he gave you the word of God. I'm going to ask you a question. If you, how much physical nourishment do you get a day? One meal a day? Can you serve on one meal a day? Well, this is like the word of God. The word of God is spiritual nourishment. And if you don't have spiritual nourishment, you're going to have a battle, people. Because there's a war going on between the spirit and the soul that is, it's a war. Another reason why they don't forgive, they'll do it again. Yeah, what if they do? But what does the Bible say you do? Forgive them, forgive them, forgive them. I know what the Bible says about people, especially in marriage, what the Bible says. Jesus said that people are going through divorce. He said, why did he issue a certificate? He said, because of the hardness of their hearts. God's instruction. I don't know about you, but I like my father. My father gives good instruction. I'm going to follow it. Why? I don't want to be enslaved. I don't want to be in bondage. I like the freedom. Maybe another one is, I don't like them. You're not going to forgive me. I don't like you. Only when we're going to realize that forgiveness is an act of the will and not our emotions. Oh, man. Thank you, my wife. When I was beginning married to Sue Ann, she says, my emotions are like oxygen.
Really?
She was living by her emotions. Now, are you justified by emotions or are you justified by faith? Your choice. You get to choose what you believe is right. But there also, the scripture says, there is a right that seems right to a man, but its end is death. Now, he's not talking about physical death as much as spiritual death. You're going to be separated from God because you made the wrong choice. Another six. If I forgive them, I'll have to treat them right. Whoa. We often think that when we ignore or punish an offender, then we can forgive them. Not so. What about this one? Well, someone has to punish him. Now, I want to talk about thinking. I didn't know you're God. You had the ability to punish them. How often do we want God to be merciful to us, and yet we want him to punish those who sinned against us? Wow. Okay. So, ask yourself this question. What keeps you from forgiving? From forgiving? I guarantee you one thing. The devil tempts you with anger. And unforgiveness, more than any other sin, but you know what God says in his word? He said, examine me, Lord. Test my heart. Test my mind. Do you do that? Do you do that every day as God tells you to do it? If you haven't, why haven't you? And if you follow God's instructions, you'll find freedom. Now, for those who don't like instructions, well, your life is going to be pretty miserable. I guarantee you that. I guarantee you that. Not because I said, but what God says. Maybe the next one is, I'll forgive, but I can't forget. Who said you had to forget? You don't have to forget. In fact, the Bible says, but the same comfort that God comforted others, me, we can comfort other people. You're still, even if you forgive, you're still going to remember, but there will be no more negative emotions. Because you can help somebody else. Wouldn't that be a great thing? Especially for people that struggle with it. The world struggles with it. The Christian struggles with it. I know. It'd be like my son. Didn't bother me. Didn't bother me. Like, what? Well, I'll try not to think about it. Maybe that will fix it. Really? The problem with that, it usually happens. It reminds us of our past hurt. You know, one of the things that we like to do, so we don't try to think about it, we try to bury it. And I've seen it. 40 years of counseling, and I've seen a lot of it. Men are really good at it. They just kind of push it down. Pushing it down, you know, it don't bother you. Really? Well, that isn't what my Bible tells me. So, what does forgiveness include? First of all, it requires you to have an honest appraisal. You know what? God knows everything. He knows you got how many hairs you got on your head. He knows everything about you. He said, before the foundation of the world, I knew you. This is about a relationship between you and God. You are his children. You're the sons and daughters. And he is your daddy. Now, maybe you don't have experienced that relationship. But guess what God wants? That's desires. This is about a relationship. And by the way, how long do relationships take to work on relationship? Relationships don't just happen overnight. So let's look at about forgiveness. First of all, you got to admit it to God. You got to admit, I'm angry and hurt, Lord. You know, the Bible says, be angry and sin not. What? What are you talking about? Well, what he's talking about, he says, don't have a passive attitude of doing nothing. Have a combative attitude and be angry at sin because it's destroying your relationship with God, Almighty God, and it's affecting the others around you. That's why. Be angry at sin. That's what the Word of God says. What do you believe what it says? What do you believe for yourself? And that's what it, where it's at. Express your anger and hurt to God, for he's the only one who can fix it. Receive God's love and forgiveness for you. I'm going to ask you a question. If we are the parents and we don't know how to deal with forgiveness, how in the world are we going to teach our children? We can't. We're supposed to lead. We're supposed to teach them. Remember that the Lord, Christ, is our Lord. And he promises to work all things out together for those who are good. One of the things I've seen that people don't understand about forgiveness is it means confessing your sin, your responses for sin. First of all, it's here. Lord, I confess my sin up to you. I've sinned against you and you alone. If you don't start that out first, you're missing it. Because too many people, even Christians, go this way. They don't even think about this thing. Confess your sins and repent. Without no repentance, there is no change. Because repentance means a change of mind and a change of the heart. I don't know about you. A long time ago, I had a pair of chains. They were rubber chains. And I use them as an example of what unforgiveness looks like. And I remember, and they were about this long, and so I attached one to myself and another one. And I said, this is what unforgiveness looks like. You're going to carry that person all the way to the grave with you if you don't forgive. How about that? What about the ones that divorce and don't understand about forgiveness? I remember counseling a woman one time about 30 years ago, and she said, oh, that's repulsive. I said, well, I'm just telling you, you know, you're going to bring into that relationship unforgiveness, and you're not going to be able to have another relationship until you forgive. Number one, are you going to give up the right to punish or get revenge? That's another thing. People start to take revenge. Revenge is mine, saith the Lord. When you start to revenge, now you're playing God. You're playing just like God. You have to give up the right to judge people and condemn people. Who gave you that right? There's only one judge, I know. But we think we have a right to judge. That isn't what my book says. That isn't what... It said, judge not lest you'll be judged. And by the measure you judge, will be measured back to you. But you know what? You have a choice. We all have choices. The question comes down, what are you going to choose? Next thing we need to do is tell God your decision to forgive. I'm going to choose to forgive. Not because I have to, but because I want an intimate and love relationship. Unforgiveness diminishes the relationship with God. It doesn't mean he doesn't love you anymore. That's not it. But your intimacy with God will be affected. What are the barriers to forgiveness? I don't really understand God's forgiveness. It doesn't make sense to me. You know what the Bible says about that? The foolish man only wants understanding his own mind. Or another barrier to forgiveness is, my concept of God is wrong or incomplete. And that can happen because growing up as a child. Your first picture of God comes through the authority in your life. It was your father, like mine. That would, but not good. I had to deal. God had to show me that I wouldn't be able to trust God until I dealt with my own heart and forgive my father. That was the first thing after I got saved 40 years ago. He said, my son, he says, you have unforgiveness with God. I said, I do? And my father, 2,000 miles away. And God revealed it to me. And it's like, and then he gave me a verse. He says, man looks at the outside appearance, but God looks at the heart. Whoa. That convicted me right there. I repented right there. I confessed my sin. I was set free. Because now I began to understand and see what the love of a father looked like. It would have been very distorted, but God loved me, and he showed me. We need to be open to that. Another barrier to forgiveness is depending on our own resources rather than the Holy Spirit. I do believe that God said that he sent the Holy Spirit to comfort us, to guide us, to direct us. Right? That's a comforter. The next thing why we have a barrier to forgiveness, well, don't understand our identity in Christ. Now you might say, well, I'm a child of God. There's no question about that. But do you live like a child of God? Do you live like he's my daddy? He's my Abba Father. That's who he is. This is a relationship, people. What is stopping you? The question is. What barrier in your life? You know, the next one. Pride. Pride. Oh, God has so much to say about pride. I remember what God says about Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar said, look at me, look what I've done. God hates that. He hates it. Arrogance. Independence. So what are the benefits of forgiveness? Freedom from demonic torment. I don't know about you. How many of you like to be tormented? You might think that's a stupid question, but it's reality. People who choose not to forgive will be tormented. The Bible doesn't lie. Emotional healing. healthier relationships. I don't know about you, but more than anything, I want what God wants for me. He's my daddy, and my daddy loves me. And he gives you, he says, and forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. How many times do we pray the Lord's Prayer and don't really get that? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. God says a lot about forgiveness. He says in Ephesians 1:7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of his grace. One of my favorite verses, Psalm 32:5. Then I acknowledged my sin to him, and it did not cover, and it did not cover up my iniquity. And he said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and forgave the guilt of my sin. How many of you deal with guilt? I know how the Bible says what to do about it. And it is written, there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Go to the Word. The Word will set you free. Nothing but else, the Word of God. In Psalm 119, he says, I seek you with all of my heart. Do let me go astray from your commands. Do you seek him with all of your heart? He wants all of you. He wants all of your heart. Don't stray from him. He loves you, and he wants the best for you. Husband, you're the leader of your home. God called you the preacher. Help your wives. And if you have forgiveness, God's going to hold you accountable. It's not what I say. I know. That's what the Lord says. You are to wash your wife with the water of the Word. And those who don't are disobedient to the Word of God. God's not going to hold a woman. It's the man you're going to hold accountable. Whether you believe it or not, whether you act or not, you will pay the consequences for disobedience. I see it in my son's life. My son was raised by another man. I came to know the Lord when I was 28 years old. But I lost everything. But I found Christ. That's the most important part. And for 40 years, I've been sharing the heart of God, because it's the only way that matters. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. So what do you want? What do you want out of life? This is all about seeing how much God loves you. Do you know what love means in the Hebrew language? It's amazing. You could give me all of your definitions of what love means, but the Hebrew language is unbelievable. It means when the Father's heart is revealed to you, you will know his love. A revelation only comes through the Holy Spirit. When someone reveals something to you through the Holy Spirit, you'll never forget it. Why? Because you didn't learn it by man. You learned it through the Spirit, and now you own it. It's yours. It's yours. And he wants you to experience all that he has. But you have a choice. Every day you have a choice, like myself. Choose whom this day we will serve. Are we going to choose God, or are we going to choose to serve ourselves? God loves us so much that he gave his son to pay for our sins with the blood of Jesus Christ. For without no shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Do you want freedom, people? You want to experience freedom like you had before? Then choose to follow God's ways. Choose to follow God's word. Get into the word of God. Memorize it. Meditate on it. In fact, the Bible says, I've hidden thy word inside thy heart, so I won't sin against thee. You know, one thing I've always had trouble with is school. School was really hard for me, so I just felt such like a failure and all my life. But then I got in the Word of God. I remember my mother telling me, Frank, you're so inferior and all this stuff. And I almost believed her. But what I believed her was, my mother saw a new me. My mother saw that I was steadfast. My mother saw something she never saw in me before. We are new in Christ. We're a new creation in Christ. And he's given us this book, the Word of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I come before you this beautiful morning, Lord. For this is the day that you have made, and I will rejoice. I ask you, Lord, to search the heart of your people. They would personally look at themselves. That they would test themselves and ask themselves, Lord, is there anything I need to forgive? Search my heart. You know me. I want to be free from this unforgiveness. I want to experience freedom like nothing else. I don't want to be attacked by the evil one no more. I just cry out to you, Lord. Help me. I confess my sin, Lord. To you, you only, because I've sinned against you, Lord. Forgive me. Forgive me. I pray, Lord, that we choose every day to look to you for strength. The Bible says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Lord, I put my whole trust in you. I lay down. I surrender my trust to you. I lay everything at the foot of the cross. You are my God. You are my daddy. Help me, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the truth. For you are the way. You are the truth. And you set me free. For when the Son set you free, you are free indeed. Amen.